Listen up, you savages, H51 is a little different this week, and a little crappier because this is the only time I am in the episode. For that I apologize. Anyway, Brent and producer Lisa took a trip to Memphis, Tennessee to meet up with another idiot you have heard on the show a few times, Sam Culper from Breakers Podcast. While they were there doing research for an upcoming Graceland episode, they got the chance to record at the world-famous Sun Studio. They tell me that is cool, sounds lame to me. Anyway, this is them going on and on about meat sack crap that is stupid. I hope you hate it.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Well, you silly fools are not crazy! Not crazy!
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Hey guys, this is Sam Culper. You might know me from Breakers Podcast or from all of my episodes of Hysteria 51 where I've come in here, stolen the show, entertained you guys. I'm here with my good friend, your boy, Brent Hand, and I'm looking around me at history. I found myself breaking away from the COVID-19 and decided to socially distance as far away from home as I can. And Brent, we've gotten together here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Now, I will say we still are about a good 6 feet away. We have a piano bench between us. Kind of a famous piano bench, though. Man, it's not just any.
The asses that have sat on this piano bench, I can only imagine. And I mean, I'm looking around here. I know we were talking about how many famous people have been in this place, have talked through these microphones. Tell everybody where we are.
Yeah, so we are at the legendary Sun Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you're wondering, what the hell's a legendary Sun Studios? Well, it's the place that birthed people like Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, B.B. King. I mean, you name it. And they've been here. And then later in life, we were talking about this, U2 played here, Def Leppard, Mellencamp.
If you listen to music today, I don't give a shit what you listen to, but if you listen to music.
I do because I'm a prick. I kind of care.
He's snob, music snob here. Now, if you listen to music today, particularly rock and roll music, every bit of it comes from here. This is where rock and roll music was born. This is where we get people like Elvis Presley. It's where we get people like Roy Orbison.
The spot where the first rock and roll song, Rocket 88, was recorded with a young man named Ike Turner tickling the ivories on that one with his. Yeah, it's just a crazy. And not only is it, I wish you guys, and we're going to post some photos. This is not only the room, it's still exactly the same.
You
as it
can
was.
Almost smell the asbestos in these sounds.
Yes.
I mean, this place is great. You can just feel the history. And we're
taking
here.
Hours, if not days, off our lives doing this.
And it's so worth it. I mean, and we're sitting here. It's late in the evening. We started this off at 11 o'clock tonight because they've taken the Sun Studios and now they give tours during the day, but it's still an active recording studio at night. And being here in Memphis, we just couldn't pass up the opportunity to give these guys a call and see if we could come in here and get an hour or so of recording time.
Yeah, we called and they're like, there is, you know, months waiting list. And I said, this is Brent Hand. And they go, oh, shit. We're going to give you an hour then.
If you really want to know how this went down, we came in here on Thursday and we went through the tour and it was fantastic. They put on a great show. If you guys ever come to town, you got to check this place out because you're not going to leave here without some history. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And as I'm leaving, I grew up in a music family. Music is my life. I love it. And I'm looking at all of these instruments and the pictures on the wall and this piano in here. And I'm not going to lie. I did what I could to try to bribe the girl to let me at least play the piano for just 4 bars before I left.
And she said,
you know, if you're going to do that, you just got to book studio time. We can't let you do that on the tour. So I was like, wait, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Then we're just going to book studio time.
So we really appreciate those guys having us here tonight. But tell us about how we came to be here in Memphis and some of the things that you've experienced that you really left an impression, Brent.
Yeah, so this was something you and I have been talking because we wanted to do something. COVID has been impacting everyone, and we said, let's make our way. It's kind of a, I'm in Chicago, you're in Oklahoma City area. And we said, let's meet in the middle. We came here.
In the middle. Now, let's be careful, because if you want to get in the middle of Oklahoma City and Chicago, there's nothing.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We found a good middle distance that we could get to and threw a dart, and it landed on Memphis, Tennessee.
That's exactly right. And my wife and I have been talking about coming here and having a, you know, at least a long weekend or something like that. We talked to you and your wife, and you said, yeah, let's come do it. And so we had to do the tourist traps.
Like, we've done them all.
I say traps because they're so fun, you know, and exactly.
I've been so pleasantly surprised just with this town. Now, I've driven across country and driven through Memphis, but I've never actually been here to see the town. And we've spent a lot of time on Beale Street. Mm-hmm. I never thought that I would have had a super fantastic meal at a B.B. King's bar mm-hmm. on the Strip, and that the damn chicken and waffles was just...
You had chicken and waffles, and I had catfish, and I think it's my third catfish of the day that day. it was worth every bite, though.
But yeah, not only did we listen to the live music on Beale Street and experience that, but we also did hit every tourist trap we can.
Well, and speaking of hitting tourist traps, I learned today that I've been saying something my whole life wrong, because we went not only to... The other day, we went to Sun Studios, which we're back in right now, but... We went to what I've always said, Graceland. Oh, no. We went to Graceland.
Yeah, they talk a little different here. They speak a different language, but we're learning.
Yeah.
We're picking it up.
I'm trying to fit in. And I had no idea that Graceland, I almost said it the wrong way. Well, they redid it like 3 years ago. So now it's got this huge museum, and his planes are there and his cars are there, and you get to go through the house. You really get a pretty good... access to the home. You're in there more than most places.
You know, this has kind of been a joke amongst us for the last couple of weeks, knowing that we were going to come here, and it's like, we're going to go to Memphis, you've got to go to Graceland. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've never been a huge Elvis fan, but you can't, if you're involved in music at all, not appreciate the impact that he had on all of the music that we deal with. So you're going to go to Memphis, you got to go to Graceland. And so we're talking about buying the tickets to go to the tour, and you know, it's like, you got us the good tickets, right? And she's like, well, the good tickets, there's... I didn't realize that Graceland is essentially Disneyland. I mean, this is a huge, huge enterprise that they have over there. I thought it was a house.
Well, there's the house.
Way more than a house.
And then next to it is the guest house, which is like, I don't know, like a several hundred person hotel. And then across the street now is the museum, an actual sound studio where they've been filming the show about... The Sun Records right here. So we're in the Sun Studio. Sun Records was their label that they came up with. And then you have his fleet of cars, his planes, his daughter's memorabilia. Then they also have memorabilia from everyone that's mattered in music, from every genre you can think of, their instruments, their clothes.
John Lennon's piano was in there. I mean, that was great.
Next to John Schneider's belt buckle.
Right?
It was the famous John's aisle, I guess.
Right around the corner from the Rock's Elvis costume. I mean, you had a little bit of everything there. But, you know, it was really impressive. And as we've been driving around Memphis shopping for real estate in neighborhoods that we can't afford, it was really refreshing to see that Graceland only cost $105,000.
Yeah, when he bought it literally on several acres. And it's interesting too, like we were saying, we're in the backyard. They still have the horses and everything there. They still have neighbors, just regular houses there.
Over the fence, the neighbor's house. I mean, you can imagine what it's like to live on that real estate now.
Yeah, right. Or they're just itching for you to sell it, probably. Just, you know.
Turn down the music.
Yeah, exactly. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so... it's very high on pronunciation too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For Larry, limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
It was interesting, though. You know, we get to see the jungle room, and we got to see his media room with the giant 20-inch TVs in the wall, you know.
Mirrors on the ceiling.
Oh, my God. I thought I was going to die because they literally have a staircase that the entire thing is mirrors. And they're like, yeah, don't die, please, on this part of it because people fall down the stairs.
When he says they, you got to go all out. I mean, our tour guide was John Stamos. I mean, Uncle Jesse was talking us through Graceland today.
Which I didn't know until today that Jesse was a nod to Elvis's brother who died, unfortunately was stillborn. His name was Jesse. That was a nod to that. So
yeah, Uncle Jesse walk. I mean, we were listening to Walking in Memphis all the way to get to Graceland. So, you know, it just kind of set up the mood and it all just unfolded before us.
Aunt Becky wasn't there, though, unfortunately.
Aunt Becky's in jail.
Yeah, she's doing that that hard time, I'm sure. Very hard time at Club Fed for, you know.
You got to get your kids in school.
She just cares about her
education
children.
Is important.
Reading is fundamental.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking around this room and they've got a line of guitars in here that are the collection or their studio instruments and whatnot. But the pictures on the room of Roy Orbison and Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and
the Million Dollar Quartet right there with Elvis and Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis, the super famous photo.
I don't know. This room leaves an impression on you.
It's missing a Sam Culper, I think, is the best thing I can say.
I think so.
I can give you a Sharpie if you want to put one on there. They won't care.
I don't think they'll mind. I mean, some of these guitars are signed. Surely they want Brent Hand and Sam Culper signing on some
right
of these. Next,
right between Willie Nelson and Bono.
Yeah, I remember in the 90s when I was first really getting into some music and watching Rattle and Hum and U2. While they were on, I think it was a Joshua Tree tour, and they were traveling through here, and they stopped in and recorded that with a horn section from here in Memphis. Yeah. And it's just watching those guys talking about the history that was here for them even back then.
Well, and speaking of history, too, if we sound a little bit different, Nation, because we are talking on classic mics. He actually brought out a Shure SM7B. I think he had a pod mic or a I don't know what the other one was, you know.
And he had the fancy
what
stuff.
Was it? There you go, you know. And he's like, you don't want to talk into this shit. You know, you want to talk into some old stuff. I'm like, yeah. And then we actually got, when we were here the other day.
It's right over here on the mic stand.
The mic that Elvis used to record and Johnny Cash used, or the actual mic. And it's not behind glass or anything like that. They're like, here you go. Just don't lick it because their DNA is not in it anymore. We're like, yeah, I think that's a safe safe request.
I think she was telling us when she gave the tour that before Sam... Sam Phillips, the original founder of the Memphis Recording Service in the Sun Studio here, before he passed, he actually gave them one of the original microphones that they were singing on back then. And I mean, it sits right here on Elvis's mark where he would sing in the studio and everybody got to pose in front of it. And I'm sure Hysteria Nation, you're going to see one or two of those pictures.
Yeah, it's amazing. They still have the tape on the floor where they stood. That was their markers. And where the upright bass sat, there's still an indention in the floor where they played. I mean, that's just... I like the non-changing because I'm lazy too, so it rings a bell with me.
They've done a really good job here. I know they were talking about, you know, as one of the local hotels was being torn down, they'd gone in and the original recording studio radio studio where they would broadcast. What was the DJ's name? Do you recall? I'll bet Daniel will yell through here. Who was the DJ back in the day that made Elvis famous?
That's
Dewey Phillips. Dewey Phillips. So Dewey Phillips had his studio in a hotel, and these guys went there and they took the tiles and the desks, and they got everything from Dewey Phillips' studio before they remodeled the hotel over there, and they brought it back here to Sun Studios, and they've got all of that old memorabilia, and they've recreated that. Broadcast studio upstairs.
I love that's where he came up with the idea of the smash hit, is he would play the records, and if he didn't like it, literally in the middle of the song, he would take it off, say, we got another smash hit, and smash it over the microphone. And so when you're here and you go in there, there's actually broken records all over the floor around his desk.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan, for just $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
How many times do you think we've driven past this place in the last?
So it's funny. Every time we're going somewhere, we drive right past here. It's like, we can't escape this place. And it's like, where are we? Well, there's Sun Studios right there. So
we know where we are.
We're going the wrong direction. We need to turn back around. Yeah. It's, Memphis, if you've not been here, is a very easy town to get around in. And we even, speaking of doing all the touristy things, we didn't spend all our time in the town. We actually took a riverboat ride on the Mississippi.
We went out onto the Mississippi, just like the good old days, and we took a riverboat ride, and we listened to the stories and got our history. And I mean, I'm reasonably well-traveled. We've been places together. I'm not sure I've done anything quite this touristy.
Well, you and I have traveled places together, and we've never done. Yeah, we usually just let's go have dinner, let's go eat, let's go do this and that. And there was something about Memphis. We're like, let's just do that aspect of it, you know. And my wife and I know when we travel and we've been to places, it's kind of a mix. We'll do some of it, but you do it for a couple of days, and you're like, this trip, we ran out of time. We never did the Stax Museum.
I know we didn't get to Stax.
Didn't go to the Orpheum. I mean, there's so many places we didn't get to do just because we're having, you know, too much fun, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's been a really great trip, and it's close enough that I'm pretty sure this might be a good meet in the middle place for us. So,
yeah.
What else it left an impression for you here in Memphis?
Well, you know, it's just the culture here, they're very proud, and that's in a good way. And I don't mean that that can come off as the wrong thing, you know, pride in their city, but everyone here is very friendly. They want to tell you what their favorite place in town is to do, the history of it, because everyone, this town has so much history. And that's one of the things that really rung out to me, was just how proud people are of their heritage here, and for rightful reasons, because it's amazing. And the amount of musical world history that's come out of this town. And I think for better or for worse, when you think of music, a lot of times in Tennessee, you think of Nashville, and Memphis is crazy.
Everything that happened in Nashville, though, happened because of what was going on in Memphis.
Exactly.
I mean, this really is the heart of it. This is where it all started. And that history was there, and it broke down so many barriers. I mean, this was the first place that we really started breaking down barriers on racial issues, mm-hmm. and that divide where, I mean, yeah, Elvis was the one who really brought us this rock and roll music, but the original guys that were in here, the prison quartet, mm-hmm. what were those fellas called?
Oh, man, the...
Daniel?
Prisoners.
See? We've got Daniel in the booth
now,
here.
Now, Lisa, this is what
shop.
A producer's supposed to be. You know, she just sits there and does her nails. I think I need to maybe spring for a Daniel. I don't know. Daniel, you looking to transfer to Chicago by any chance?
That's for damn sure.
That's why I am with my wife, so that's a different story, though. But
So the Prisoners, when they first got the studio together... these guys were actually convicts. They were in prison. Mm-hmm. They were playing there. And the story that they tell is that Sam went and talked to the warden and got the warden to agree to let the Prisoners come to Sun Studio. And it was a bit of a gimmick, I think.
Yeah.
And he gets these guys here, and they record. And I guess they brought them in under armed guard and chains.
They were literally shackled, and they had to sing under armed guard. Yeah.
And then they cut a few songs, and they press these records, and they sell them, and it's a hit. Everybody loves mm-hmm. it. And turns out the governor ends up giving these guys a pardon and letting them go because they made music.
I have no idea what they're in for. Maybe that's better if I don't look, so I don't care. When and it might have been nothing, but it's like, he's murdered 13 people, but damn, he can sing. You know,
but those are the guys.
Not the case.
Those are the guys that really tipped it off. And Elvis Presley, this kid who nobody knew, he's driving a car for an electrical company.
Yeah, like doing deliveries and things.
Doing deliveries.
Yeah.
He's listening to the record. He's got these guys' record and loves it. So he's popping in here recording music for mom.
Mm-hmm. And they said he came in, he cut a record, and they listened to him the first time. And he's like,
nope, don't
like that kid.
Not that guy.
And luckily, Sam's wife liked him. And it's like a year later when they were needing a studio band, you know, or session musicians. They're like, well, let's bring him in. And they brought him back in, and he... Well, he didn't really impress them then either until they said they were like at break and he was like humming and singing himself like obscure blues music. And Sam was like, are you holding that on me kind of thing? And that's when they cut their first album. And he was literally like an overnight worldwide sensation, same as.
Yeah, I and then Sam ends up having to sell him to RCA,
mm-hmm.
and then uses that money to bring us some of these other folks.
Yeah,
that we,
and
that we hear
really
from.
Start the Sun label, and that's why we have the Roy Orbisons and Johnny Cash right after that and everything. You know, who hasn't seen Walk the Line? You know, and the scenes from that. So. Oh.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You talk about that history. We really did do all of the touristy things. You didn't talk about the ducks. We did ducks too. I mean, we had to do.
And now I know why.
I thought this was a joke at first. I didn't know that was a real thing.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with what he's talking about, the Peabody Hotel in here, here in downtown Memphis, has on their roof a duck house, and every morning they walk the ducks out of the duck house to the elevator. They take them down to the lobby and they walk them on a red carpet into the fountain. They spend the day swimming in the fountain, and then like 4:30 or 4:45 every day they come in and the guy leads the ducks down the red carpet once again into the elevator, back up and into the duck house on the roof. That's a life.
It's not a bad gig, and I think they serve a couple of months here at a time, and then they send them back to the duck farm.
Yeah, I think they said like they do
ducks.
Like 3 months, and they go. They have their own ducks. It's this own special farm that they raise them for. And I tell you what, he came out, pulled out his cane, tapped a couple times, and those ducks like jump out of the water and start walking and drying off.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, we were actually talking to her about being in Memphis, and she's like, well, did you go to the Peabody and did you see the ducks? And you know, we had kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the day, but I really didn't think it was that big of a deal. But they've been doing this for 100 years mm-hmm. or something. It's been going on forever.
The odd thing is, though, they have a restaurant there. They don't serve duck.
No duck.
Yeah, who would have thought?
We were all over town today. I finally found one place that you could actually get a duck today, and that restaurant was shit.
And speaking of ducks, we went to a pyramid. There is a Bass Pro Shop slash Ducks Unlimited that is a giant. It's the former where they played. It was a sports arena turned Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, the Memphis Grizzly played here, I guess, for a season or two. They actually built that pyramid for them, our Uber driver was telling us that what's the pyramid at Vegas? It's the Excalibur.
The Luxor. Yeah.
See, now she's going to come through.
Yeah, there you go.
So they built the Luxor in the middle of Memphis because pyramids in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently back in the olden days, we'd been to Egypt and decided that we needed to name this part of the world after
they said
an Egyptian
it
town.
It looked just like they were remembered over there for whatever reason. So here we go. Memphis. Yeah. So there's Memphis, Egypt. Yeah.
Right,
and so here we are in not quite Memphis, Egypt.
So they built a pyramid for the Memphis Grizzlies to play in. And apparently the NBA wasn't cool with it. So they had to move those guys over. And now we've got an empty pyramid. So Bass Pro moved in and they got ducks there too.
Let's sell bass boats. They do have ducks in there though. Live ducks just they have it's really cool. They have like a cypress swamp, what looks like a cypress swamp in there, kind of like all through the whole thing. You're just walking over it, and there's catfish and alligator, huge alligator gar in there, and lots of ducks.
Who would have ever known that Walmart for hunting would end up being that would end up being a tourist destination, but we did have to go to the pyramid. Oh, we went to the bar with the goats.
Oh yeah, Silky O'Sullivan's. Yeah, they have Irish diving goats. Now
I feel like that was there's a little bit of maybe exaggeration in the Irish diving goats.
They didn't even sound Irish, so I don't.
There was no accent. Mm-mm. They didn't dive after anything.
I'm gonna call bullshit on that whole story, but that's just me.
They did. At least the ducks rode the elevator.
So we were told about all these ducks. Then we got to go to something. My wife's like, oh my god, we got to go to Silky O'Sullivan's. We got to see the goats. We go there, and we're like, they actually have this huge spiral. Not staircase, but like thing that they can like jump on and run on.
You know the thing that you can order off of Wish for $15 for your cats to climb up and down in the living room?
If
it was two stories tall and made out of old lumber for your goats. So, in the middle of the bar.
So Sam says, hey, where are your goats? They go, we got two of them, but they're sleeping.
By God, we went around and found those damn goats. Yeah, we took a picture at the goat in the middle of downtown Memphis Beale Street here.
Yeah. So they didn't dive, and they didn't do any Irish drinking with us, but they were at Silky O'Sullivan's.
Now, I'm not going to say that I wasn't doing some Irish drinking at the time, so who knows what really happened with the goats.
And what's the difference between regular drinking and Irish drinking?
Well, mine had Irish whiskey.
Oh. You know, all whiskey could be Irish whiskey if you just believe in it. I think that's the way it goes.
I believe.
Beale Street's fun, though. It's not huge. It's a few blocks, you know, and it's just place after place of music or food or little kitschy cool knick-knack places and stuff like that.
And it's a really interesting time. I mean, so much of our world has been so locked down for so long, and there's no real light at the end of the tunnel of things getting a whole lot better. But we're here, and everybody in this town seems to be pretty serious about the mask wearing, the social distancing. They're taking precautions and whatnot, but the stuff is open, but it was fairly loosely populated. I mean, nowhere that we went were there tons of people. So we had a pretty good Memphis experience as far as that. None of the clubs that we went to, none of the shops up and down the street, none of the tours that we were on, nothing was so crowded that you couldn't enjoy it or that you were afraid of catching somebody's cough.
Which is unfortunate for the tour places, but it's fortunate that they are still open and it can be safe for people like us to be able to do it, who are wearing our masks and doing things like that. It was a pleasant surprise, I guess.
And I didn't know what to expect. I know you and I live in very different places, and where I come from, no matter how bad the situation gets politically and, you know, emotionally, people just don't believe in it and they're not taking precautions and stuff. And you're seeing that.
That's
here.
Called America.
America.
America. That's why, we're winning on that aspect of it. America number one, baby. But, you know, it's this has been a great, I guess, pretend little break from the whole thing. And I think that's important. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing, because this has been a long year of people being in their homes and people not being able to do things. And it was a very nice getaway, even though it has been wear your mask, social distance. Things are different. And I'm sure there are aspects of the tours and the stuff that we're doing that isn't quite exactly the same. It was great for us to be able to do this and to see it and have a blast doing it.
Well, and so I will tell you, Hysteria Nation, if you're looking for a place to go social distance away from home, you know, I mean, you got to get away, check out Memphis. And if you come to Memphis, make sure that you go to the Sun Studio. This is a really, really cool spot. It's going to take you all the way back to where all of your music and everything you know and love, where it all started. You're definitely going to learn something.
January 3rd, 1950. This place opened originally.
January 3rd, 1950. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been several, I think, is how that works.
Well, we appreciate them having us here at Sun Studio. You can go to sunstudio.com to find this place. come take the tour. They
get yourself a shirt.
Job.
They have some awesome, awesome swag too. So, and the awesome yellow and black logo. So yeah,
but we do appreciate them. We appreciate Daniel, hooking us up here in the booth, even though he's too expensive to bring back to Chicago with us.
Yeah, come here and make some music. Just as easily as we are, you can come here, you can book yourself in literally a legendary studio, cut a track, cut a few tracks. It's that simple. We literally sent an email and said, hey, we want to do this. And they're like, come on in, we're going to work you in. We'll make this happen for you. And that's what's great, especially in a time like this where people are struggling. People might not be able to get out and do a lot of things. Businesses are struggling. I'm sure they've seen reduced numbers. Come in here and do things like that and make it happen. Because that's one of the best things you can do is to put your money out so that others can make a living, I guess.
Yeah, and share your art with the world. This is the place to do it.
If you gotta do it, why not do it somewhere where so much art has been birthed that has changed the world?
Well, man, I appreciate you inviting us on this trip.
It's been a great
experience. Yeah. I look forward to doing it again. You guys can find me, BreakersPodcast.com, at Breakers Podcast on all social media, and you can listen to the show. It's still out there in all of its infamy. We had some foresight. We knew that the plague was coming. So go listen to Breakers Podcast
571.
Everywhere where you find podcasts. Where can they find you, Brent Hand?
Yeah, so you can find us on, go to Facebook group, just search Hysteria Nation, search Hysteria 51. You can find links to everything on Hysteria51.com. Don't forget to tweet to us, all of us, Facebook us. We love hearing from you. Shoot us emails. Let us know what you want to do. I know this is not a normal Hysteria 51 episode. We are going to be doing one on Graceland. And is it haunted? Ooh,
it felt pretty haunting there for me.
So, yeah, we had to do the tour first, obviously, or how would we know? So that's a little an episode that's coming up soon. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, so don't forget Breakers. And if you've listened to our audio dramas, especially the last one, you might have heard a little hints for the Breakers universe in there.
There might be
some stirring in the future. We shall see.
Well, with that, I've been Sam.
I've been Brent. And we've had no conspiracy, bud.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.